What is up, people of the music universe? Welcome back to the Anna Creates Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Kratz, and this is my show where I just get to shoot the shit about making music and the creative life. So today, in today's episode, we have a few different news updates. There's been some really big developments with some companies and all that kind of stuff. So I want to talk about that for a minute. There's actually quite a bit of news that I want to talk about. And then I want to discuss, it got sparked by an article, but AI. A little bit. And I think this is going to be an ongoing thing, but on the podcast, because AI is just everywhere and the developments are huge. But I just want to talk about something that I found interesting in an article, which is how AI can help us and a bit more of a positive light on that in our music production. I'm talking specifically about music production, but how it's not coming for our jobs. There's some really positive, cool stuff that I hope people start making. And I kind of wish I was an AI programmer so I could work on it. But anyway, we have that. And then at the end, I want to shout out a very cool podcast that has just been massively inspiring, and it's pretty new, but it's really interesting. Not specific about music, but just creativity in general and content creation, which is near and dear to my heart, obviously. But I think it's just very inspiring all around for people to really think about their creativity. So that is our show for today. Let's dive into it. So the first thing is some new content from me, and that should be coming out this week or next week, very soon, very soon. I just sent the final mix off for mastering, and yeah, it's been a long time in the works, but I think it's one of my best creative challenge videos yet, and it has sparked a lot. I learned a lot making it, and it sparked a lot of different ideas moving forward as well, so I'm really excited about that. It is a collaboration with my good friend Malcolm Cottle, so yeah. Now, it's interesting because the challenge was to write a song in a day. Here's your little exclusive preview. But we wrote the song in a day. And so we wrote the song in like 5 or 6 hours or something like that. But it took over 20 hours to edit the video for it. And then, of course, mix the song, edit the song. I did that kind of after the fact. But we wrote the main bulk of the song. So it was like, oh, yeah, this is great. What a song in a day. But making the video took quite a lot longer. I was trying to figure out what to do. I didn't really have a great plan going into it, which you'll see in the video, which is kind of funny, but it turned out really well. I'm really excited about the video, so keep an eye out for that. That is coming soon. All right, moving on to some more company and the wider world news. First off, I wanted to talk about Apple. And if you know me, you know I'm a big Apple fanboy. But Apple had recently did their WWDC where they announced a couple things. And one of the things that is close to music creators' hearts is the Mac Pro, which has kind of been on the just hasn't been updated in a while. And it was the last Mac that hadn't gotten Apple Silicon yet. So it was still in a transition, which I think was very late. I don't know what happened, why this took so long to get where it is now, because they said when they started doing the Apple Silicon reveal at the M1 chips, they said this is going to take about 2 years. It's been 3 or 4 years now since they started, and the Mac Pro was the last one, and it's been like a year since they did M1 chips, and the Mac Pro never got an M1. It's straight into M2s. So anyway, I don't fully understand why this took so long, because it's not really a reinvention of the wheel. It's like, here's the same chassis that we had, and we're going to stick an M2 in it. So it's a bit strange in that regard, but it's great. I'm happy that they finally came out with it. The Mac Studio, which has been out for a while, is kind of fine for 95% of music creators, but for that extra 5 and the big studios that need HDX cards and these PCI cards and big audio houses for post and that kind of stuff that need those processing components, the Mac Pro is a welcome upgrade for them, but for the vast majority of people, this is a very niche product that not a lot of people need at this point. There's value in it for sure, but it's definitely not on their priority list, clearly. Yeah, that is the Mac Pro. The other thing that they announced was Apple Vision Pro, which was their VR or AR headset thing. Vision Pro, I think, is really cool. There's definitely some weird stuff in the presentation, like the dad taking a photo of his kid and the 3D photo stuff. It's like, no one's going to walk around their kid's birthday with that thing on. I think that was a way to sneak in, hey, we made a 3D camera. But it's not practical for day-to-day at all for that kind of stuff. But anyway, do I see a future with this? Yes, I think this is a phenomenal thing. And the biggest thing, the reason I say that is the when they looked at the computer and they can look at a laptop and then the laptop connects instantly, which is an ecosystem thing for Apple. And now you have your screens and your computer, your programs on like a virtual screen in the middle of the air. So you don't need multiple screens. You don't need wide screens. You don't need that kind of stuff. It's just kind of in front of you. And that's huge. That is so huge for working, because we all want a lot of different screens to do stuff. But imagine if you could put a screen in front of your speakers, virtually, of course, without having to compromise the sound, because it's not actually physically there. You know, stuff like that, I think, is a huge benefit to using that in the long run. Do I see that right now? No. Basically, my overall philosophy with this is I see a lot of potential. I'm really excited for the future. This is version one. This is the really expensive version for businesses and stuff that can afford that kind of thing. This is to prove a point. This is for developers to start getting into making stuff for the new operating system, apps for this. It's not there yet, but it's Apple, so they're going to put a ton of resources into this. So we know it's going to be around for a while. I feel the best about this and the most excited about this one versus any other VR, AR, or anything headset that I've seen in the past. This one is definitely the most exciting, partially because it's integrated into Apple's ecosystem, and that goes massive. That's a huge draw to it, for sure. I want to see where it goes in the next 2 to 5 years, frankly, in the next couple versions, once they kind of iron out the bugs, get some really cool apps and stuff like that. You know, iPads were like, oh, iPads aren't going to do anything. Now they're controllers for all sorts of stuff, and like, it's super dope. So I can see Vision Pro going in that direction or something, and especially the screens thing. That's huge to me. I can travel with a laptop and this thing and have tons of screens that basically, essentially, tons of screens for working. So I'm excited about that. It's not there yet, but I am excited about that. Next thing that I wanted to talk about was a huge update with Isotope and Plugin Alliance and BrainWorks and Native Instruments. Basically, I don't know if you remember this, but like, I think it was April 2022, so just over a year ago, Native Instruments, Isotope, Plugin Alliance, BrainWorks, all those, they said, we're part of Soundwide now, this whole new thing. Well, that basically got abandoned the second after it got announced, and now they've kind of readdressed this, and everybody is coming under the brand of Native Instruments. So Isotope, Plugin Alliance, and BrainWorks are all under this, under the Native Instruments. That's going to be the parent company. I was a little skeptical, honestly, when I heard this news. I could kind of see it coming, and they were kind of partnering before, and now they're actually being integrated into the Native Instruments brand, I guess, but still separate brands. Like, there's still going to be Isotope. Still, all these brands are still separate, but they're owned by the same people, I guess, is the behind the scenes of it. So anyway, they went off about how this is going to help people, and they said it's a seamless and consistent experience for customers, which I can't wait to see what that looks like exactly. But one of the things was single login, so one login for all of the stuff. That's kind of nice, but I don't care that much about one login. Like, one versus four is not that big of a deal. All installations through the native access. Now, this is huge because Isotope's installer sucks. It's terrible. It's horrible. Plugin Alliances is pretty good. Actually, I like that one. But Native Access is hands down the best. I really like Native Access's kind of one-stop shop for installations, updates, all that kind of stuff. So if they can take the good parts of Plugin Alliance and put it into Native Access and then just put everybody in that one spot to update and install and all that kind of stuff with one login into that place, that I'm okay with. That's kind of cool. I do like that. Isotope, sorry, man, but you guys do great plugins, but your installer is brutal. Unified Customer Care Center, which is neat, but I mean, I've never actually needed a customer care thing, so personally, I don't know if they're very different or what's going on, but that's kind of nice. One-stop shop for buying bundles and integrations and shopping and all that kind of stuff. I see a problem with this one. One, because they also said that Plugin Alliance is going to be keeping their store because they're a store for third-party plugins as well. So they're going to be a complementary marketplace. So where are you going to buy actual these actual plugins? Are you going to buy them on Native Instruments' site and through Native Instruments Store or the whatever it becomes? Or are you going to be able to buy it through either Native Instruments Store and the Plugin Alliance Store? And what's going on there? I can already see a problem with that right off the hop. But I do like the fact that they can bundle some of this stuff together. My worry is that they're going to do a Waves thing. And yeah, that's my biggest worry, frankly, is they're going to do a Waves thing where they go, hey, everything's is in a subscription service now. It's like, I already own anything I want. And Brainworks or Plugin Alliance was amazing with their deals and their bundles. So maybe they're going to do something like that. If they integrate all of Native Instruments and all of Isotope stuff into one subscription for the same price that I pay right now for Plugin Alliance, I'll be okay with it. But I basically own all of their stuff. I don't care about upgrading every single time, so I don't need that. I've subscribed to Plugin Alliance for a long time and have kind of purchased a lot of the plugins with their deals, but they have like, they're phenomenal with their deals, and I'm scared that's going to stop. And then Native Instruments, like, I bought Complete and I'm done. I don't need to spend $1,000 a year on Complete to upgrade a sound library here and there. The other thing that worries me is basically like, what happened to SoundWide and why are you changing this after this push on SoundWide? They're big that they said SoundWide wasn't a brand that was recognizable for the community. So they moved forward with the Native Instruments branding, which is fine. That makes sense. But like, why did you think it was going to be a good idea for SoundWide and to start this new brand and then go, oh, yeah, well, that's a new brand that no one knows. That was dumb. So their leadership, I'm a little worried about their leadership. If they thought that was a good idea, what else are they going to think is a good idea? And hopefully, they don't, of course, you know, pull a Waves, but not backtrack because they think we're too big for that. So I'm a little worried about that. But we'll see what happens. Native Instruments seems to be an okay company, but I've always loved Plugin Alliance, so I hope that their kind of leadership pulls in there. But I'm not a big fan of this consolidation of all these big companies. That I'm not loving. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm really fingers crossed that they kind of do the things we want and not screw it all up and make one subscription that's like $500 a month for everything. I really hope they don't do that. But anyway, we shall see. But consolidation, that brings me to my next point, which was Moog Audio has been acquired by InMusic, which is interesting. And I'm sure it'll be great. It's a mixed bag. Again, it's a mixed bag. I don't know where it's going to go. It could be great. It could not be. Moog said in their statement that there's a bunch of cool hardware and stuff in the works, and being part of the InMusic family will help them achieve this and help it get it out there, get to new markets, all that kind of stuff. So hopefully it's more of a they got purchased because they need more capital to make the projects that they have and to get it out to a wider audience. So it could be amazing and it could be really, really good. Moog has a great legacy, so I hope it's good. But InMusic, they have done some really good stuff, like with Akai and Air. They own those, and Alesis. They've done some good stuff with them, but they also owned BFD, which they totally dropped the ball and completely sucks now, because I used to use BFD back in the day, and it has not changed. So they really botched that one. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but again, consolidation worries me a little bit. All these companies being bought up. I hope the best for Moog and I can't wait to see what it does. I'm going to keep a positive mindset on it and see what happens. But yeah, that was a big piece of news. The next thing that I want to talk about, which starts our discussion about AI a little bit, is Waves Studioverse. Now, I think this has been out for a couple weeks or something now. What it is basically in the Studio Rack plugin, they now have this Studioverse thing that you can click, open up, and search for presets, upload your own presets. And it has an AI aspect to it that analyzes the sound that you've put the plugin on and gives you suggestions based on that as to what presets would work. So it kind of knows what the preset was created on, what music it was created on, and what your music sounds like, and it kind of pairs that together. So obviously Waves has a lot of different people, a huge amount of presets, all that kind of stuff. So if any company can pull this off, it's probably Waves. But you can load up different presets from different creators, different people that make these things that are more tailored to the song and the sounds that you're working on, which is kind of exciting because one of the things with presets is you pull up a preset and you don't know what 2A Destroyer is. What the heck preset is that supposed to be? What's it supposed to do? So you load it up and then you have to play with the settings and tailor it. And a lot of people, especially the more you mix, the less you use presets in that regard and you make your own, because you don't want to tailor, you don't want to have to worry about adjusting a preset back to what you would normally do. You just know how to get there faster, or you have your preset that you know what you're doing, or your batch of presets, which I think is really the way to mix. But this is kind of nice where it can help you give some advice on this. Now, I don't really foresee this being that helpful for creative mixing, but I will say that it would be very helpful for cleanup mixing. So when you pull up presets and go, I want a rock kick, and it kind of detects where's the muddiness in the kick, where's this, the stuff that I'm going to have to do anyway and find, and like it's pretty normal. It's cleaning up. It's getting the tracks into a place where they're kind of ready to be creative with. This might be able to help with that, but I don't fully see how overly helpful it is for the day-to-day professional. I think for people getting into music creation, it's kind of cool because you can download stuff and have presets that are tailored to your music and learn from those instead of learning big rock kick that is presets and you're kind of trying to learn from the preset because presets are great for learning, but it's not the right preset anyway based on what you already have. So that kind of defeats the purpose a little bit, and then you learn the wrong things, and anyway, that doesn't help. So I think it's presets are really cool and helpful for learning. I don't know how helpful they are for general sharing between professionals, but I'm interested to see what your thoughts are. Leave a comment and let me know what you think of Wave Studio Verse. Is it cool? Is it good? Are you going to use it? Do you use it? And is it helpful? That leads me into the next topic, which is how AI can help music production. This is a huge topic, and I think one that's going to be revisited a lot. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was what I see AI might be able to help us with. So people are kind of scared about this whole notion of it's going to take our jobs. It can mix for us. You know, when you look at Isotope and stuff like that, they have like mix assistance in there where it gives you, it analyzes the audio and it gives you ideas for what to do. I've never found those very helpful, to be honest. I've tried them a few times and every single time I'm like, this sucks. This is not the setting I want. This is not all what I want. This is where I think the AI, and as it gets better and as it gets more in tune with analyzing audio, could help you get better mix suggestions based on what you like. So you load that up, you use it, and then it knows, this is what they like. Personally, I love a lot of top end. My buddy teases me about this all the time. I like top end on my mixes. I like things pretty bright. So it would learn that and it would know this is what he likes. These are the frequencies he likes. This is kind of what the vein of his stuff is. And that could be very helpful, or it kind of understands based on the music that it's getting and based on the decisions I've made in the past, here's how to use it, or here's what it might want to do. That excites me. That's kind of cool. It doesn't mix for you because you still have to make the choices and you still have to tweak what it gives you to really tailor it to what you hear and every other element in the mix and all that kind of stuff. But it helps you get there faster and it helps your workflow, I think, where is necessary, where you're stuck with something. So I like that idea. I don't think AI is ever going to fully mix for us because at the end of the day, there's lots of things in mixes that are imperfect that we love. So technically, that's not good. Like an AI can't replicate something that's wrong in a sense. So, you know, there's some like a mix that I really like by Sum 41. There's a guitar that comes in at one point and it's blaringly loud compared to everything else. It like stands out, but it's awesome. And I love the fact that it does that. An AI is never going to do that. An AI is never going to know this is ear candy versus this is not. This is my style of production. I think the people that are worried about that just have a lot simpler productions maybe, because my productions, there is no way an AI would know, because I don't even know. When I start out, I don't know what half the production elements are going to do and what synth I'm going to add when I mix to give myself some more ear candy or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's not going to take over our jobs in that way. But here are some ways that I think and I hope to see AI improve, because I know there's stuff that does some of this already. improve and also add this ability to our toolkit, basically. The first thing, of course, is, as you probably guessed, noise reduction. I mean, it can detect what's a voice, what's not, what's a background, what's a drum, all that kind of stuff. I think that is going to be a huge, huge thing. Now, I started using this plugin. It's in beta right now, but it's called Goyo. But it does noise reduction on the background of vocals. It's got the three dials, background noise or ambience, reverb, and the vocal. So you can turn them up or down. And I just cranked reverb and ambience down all the way and left vocal where it was on a vocal that was a live mix. So the vocalist, the rapper, was in front of a drum kit so you could hear drums in it. And it was amazing. Now, this thing's in beta still, so they're still developing it, but already it was like game-changing to me for production. So I'm really excited about that. So I think AI is going to really help with that, where it can analyze a little bit better than just pure algorithmic stuff. It can actually kind of hear what's happening. So another thing in that vein is MIDI quantization. Because often I find when I hit quantize, it just quantizes to the closest grid. Well, if there's a pattern that's going on, and it's clear that there's a pattern, but I really screwed up a note or a drum thing or something like that, and it's slightly ahead of where it should be, that would quantize the right grid. AI is really good with patterns. Like, that's how they work, basically. So being able to analyze the MIDI and analyze what's on your track and then quantize stuff, not based on what's the closest grid, but what it should be or what it thinks it should be, that I think is going to be huge. Where they know this is like, that's an offbeat that doesn't make sense or something like that. And it can learn as you quantize certain parts, it'll know, oh, this pattern returns down here. I'm going to already edit that part over here. So I don't know how that's going to be integrated into something, but I think that's a really cool way, like Pro Tools real-time quantization or real-time properties for MIDI. That could be a really cool integration somehow. I don't know how exactly. I'm not a programmer, but that would be amazing. Because right now, quantization of MIDI is a complete, it's just out the window, frankly, in a lot of ways. I do a lot of manual cleanup of my MIDI for that reason. So that, I think, is really, really cool. Intelligent cleanup of MIDI. And the other thing in that vein is the translation of audio to MIDI. So even in Pro Tools right now, you can drag an audio clip onto a MIDI track and it will it'll analyze that and spit out the MIDI. Even with a bass, it's pretty bad because it doesn't know the difference between a sound and a pick slide versus, or just noise from sliding your hand to the note. It doesn't realize that the beginning of the note where there isn't really a tone, it's the pick hit or something like that in a bass guitar or a guitar or something like that. It doesn't know that's what it is. So it starts the note late or it adds a wrong note or something like that. Whereas an AI version of this can kind of analyze it from a wider perspective and go, this is the note. This is where it starts with the pick scrape. This is a guitar. That's what's happening. I think that is super exciting. And I would definitely be using that because the amount of time that I have to drag like a bass and then make it MIDI to use as MIDI for a synth or something like that. Oh my God. Or a guitar that I want a bass out of. Like, I think that could be super, super helpful to have MIDI, the ability for it to detect that and know that kind of stuff. Because it's not visual as much as it is both auditory and visual. So we're really good at it. And it's a lot of repetitive tasks. So, and then the other, one of the other main ones that I would love to see is to help with drum editing. And what I mean by this is tap to transient for drums is fascinatingly bad. Actually, when you have like a kick drum and it's like, I can tell where the kick hit starts, but why are you tapping into the middle of this transient? I want the beginning of this transient. And it's missing ones and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's where I think the AI could really help, because it can, again, hear and know that's a kick drum versus that's bleed of the snare drum and the hats and all this other stuff. So it could actually auditorily listen to the kick or snare track and detect, this is a kick, this is the pattern of these hits, this is where the trigger should go, this is where the actual hit is. So it'd be like a tab to transient, but way more accurate depending on what you want. And again, it can learn from what you do and you can kind of teach it, or it can like notice your patterns as you're going. So you do the first two bars and then it can do the rest, kind of something like that. I think that would be amazing. Things like that, I think, could be really, really helpful with AI. Now, the reason I'm so optimistic about AI is because I can see it doing the repetitive, boring tasks, the cleanup tasks, the prep tasks, with a little more finesse than is available at the moment with like a SoundFlow workflow where it really depends on being exact, whereas this could kind of detect more stuff. So I think that's really exciting, which opens up more in the way of creativity to me. It opens us up for more of the fun part of our job. A lot of the times for, say, a mixer, we spend a lot of time prepping the session, and then we spend a lot of time like tweaking and fixing and kind of getting stuff where we want it just so that it sounds kind of good, cutting triggers for adding samples or just making everything kind of a relative balance based on what they sent us because now it's a bunch of tracks, stuff like that. That's what we spend a way too much of our time doing. And then we're kind of like, okay, yeah, and I got to mix it. I got to be creative. So then you add a few creative things and then you're done. This wouldn't allow us to get that out of the way and then be creative for 75% of our time instead of 35% of our time, because we got all the repetitive crap out of the way way faster. So if we can speed those things up, that allows us to work on more projects and have more fun making those projects. So I am of a firm believer that they're not going to be taking over mixing and production for us, although people are worried about that because there are AI-generated songs. But people are still going to like to make music. Artists are going to still need engineers and mixers because they are making music. Yes, AI can make songs, but that doesn't address the creatives that want to make music still and then want it to be recorded and then get it out there. It can make a bunch of generic sounding stuff, sure, but like it doesn't help the creatives, and it doesn't help that people still want things that are imperfect because they were made by humans in that way. So I'm not that worried about it. I can definitely see why people are worried about it, and there's a lot to figure out. But I'm generally pretty optimistic that it's going to be very helpful for us and give us tools to make great music and do more of what we love to do. So that is my slight rant on AI. I don't think it's going to replace us mixing. I don't think the future of AI is the Native Instruments Assistance style stuff, except for cleaning up audio. I think it's going to take care of more repetitive, laborious tasks that we just don't want to do, like better editing and that kind of stuff, which I do like editing to a certain degree, but it would be really nice if like Melodyne could detect this is a word and is on the same line. AI might help with some of that detection a little bit better. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. So that is my 2 cents on AI for this week. I think AI is going to be a topic that continues to come up because there's a lot of development in that area. So let me know what you think. Are you optimistic about AI, or are you worried about AI and want to give up curating music? Which side of the spectrum are you on? Where do you sit? It's an interesting discussion because no one's right or wrong, because it's right in the middle of this being created. So let me know in the comments what you think of AI. Now, before we close out, I did want to give a shout out to two things. One is Fremont Pike released their music video for the song that I talked about last week, which was Dead President Park. Awesome, super fun video. Go check it out. The link will be in the description below. Really good. Well done, guys. Congrats on that. The next thing I wanted to talk about was a podcast that has just, I've watched every episode now because it's pretty new, and it is called Digital Spaghetti. And it's definitely one of my favorite podcasts now for creators and creativeness in general. And it's hosted by Jack, the CEO of Patreon. So it's very interesting. That guy is really inspiring in the creative realm. He's the CEO of Patreon. He created Patreon. He's the co-founder of Patreon. And he's in two bands that are do quite well. He makes his own YouTube videos. He has the Digital Spaghetti podcast now. It's just awesome. So one of my favorite episodes was the episode with Van Neistat, who is Casey Neistat's brother. Now, I'm a huge YouTube guy. I love YouTube. So I was a huge Casey Neistat fan. And Van makes some really good videos as well. But that was just a really interesting chat about creativity in general. And yes, it is a little more aimed at videos, sure. But music-wise, I mean, Jack is a musician. He's in Pomplamoose and Scary Pockets, both quite successful bands. So there's a lot of cool insight that he pulls for music as well. So go check out Digital Spaghetti. It's absolutely amazing. And I'll link the video version of it in the description. So yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite podcasts at the moment. So go check that out if you want some cool creative insight. But that is it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Leave any questions you have in the comments below, and also anything that you want to hear my two cents on. I was looking for cool stuff to discuss. But anyway, that's it for now. I will catch you in the next one. Until then, always be creating.